This is Monday, May 8th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Ira Melvin in Washington, D.C. Coming up, a moderate has soundly defeated a nationalist candidate in the French presidential election. Does this mean a worldwide defeat for the nationalist movement?
I would not say, and I don't think anyone here would say, that it is now a decisive defeat.
That is VOA Chief European Correspondent Luis Ramirez, who will join us momentarily. Also ahead, just out, a report says former U.S. President Barack Obama personally warned then-President-elect Donald Trump against naming retired Army General Michael Flynn as his national security advisor. And Faith Lapidus takes us to the Grand Canyon of Ethiopia. It's all on today's International Edition. World leaders and other political heavyweights have sent congratulatory messages to France's President-elect Emmanuel Macron on his victory over Marine Le Pen. U.S. President Donald Trump tweeted congratulations to Emmanuel Macron on his big win today. As the next president of France, I look very much forward to working with him. Trump had not publicly endorsed either candidate ahead of the election, but let it be known he generally favored Le Pen's views. The German Chancellor Angela Merkel's spokesman said in a statement, "Your victory is a victory for a strong and united Europe and for French-German friendship." Macron spoke with Merkel after his victory was announced, telling her that he would travel to Berlin very quickly. A British spokesman for Prime Minister Theresa May said in a statement that May warmly congratulates President-elect Macron on his election success. And in a message posted today on the Kremlin website, Russian President Vladimir Putin congratulated Macron and called on him to overcome mutual mistrust and unite to ensure international stability and security. Joining us on International Edition is VOA's Chief European Correspondent, Luis Ramirez. Luis, does the Macron win serve as a major defeat not only for Le Pen, but about the nationalistic and anti-immigrant movement worldwide?
Well, it has certainly been a setback, but I would not say, and I don't think anyone here would say, that it is now a decisive defeat. What it has done is it has won the pro-EU, pro-globalist side of the political lines here more time, 5 years. The pressure is very much on Macron to deliver on his promises. That will not be easy because it still remains to be seen whether he has a mandate. He's operating. Remember that both major political parties, mainstream parties, were shut out of this race. And so he is now operating. He has to do his job without a political structure, without a party structure to work with. He's on his own. So we will see in the June parliamentary elections whether he has a political mandate. In the meantime, the problems that made Le Pen as popular as she was in terms of getting a high of 34% support in this election, something that many people didn't even think she'd reach, those problems have not gone away. One of Europe's highest unemployment rates and continuing questions about security and about France's open-door immigration policy.
Well, you mentioned the mandate. Does the low turnout of the election throw even more questions onto his mandate?
Absolutely. It was a record of 4 million people abstained from voting or cast blank votes. I just came from a demonstration in Paris's Place de la République where many hundreds of people were gathered, and many of them expressing great dismay at how this election was carried out, at the choices before them, saying that this was neither candidate was viable. Certainly there was relief among the demonstrators, who were mostly left-wing activists, saying that they are relieved that Le Pen was not elected, but they at the same time are not happy with having Macron there. They said France is going through a political crisis. Many analysts would certainly counter that. They're saying it's simply an adjustment of an old policy, holding this election, keeping out the traditional parties. That was a big departure. Now it remains to be seen whether this voter revolt will be effective.
Well, for those who have not been closely following the French political process, why were there no major candidates from the political establishment in France?
Well, first of all, you had the president, the outgoing president, François Hollande, who is a socialist, This man had the lowest opinion, the lowest approval rating in the modern French Republic, 4% approval in November. And so there was no way he could run. There would have been political suicide for him and for the Socialist Party. Why was he so unpopular? Well, unemployment being the unemployment being rate being what it is, 10%, as I said earlier, among the highest in Europe. Also, over the past 2 years, a string of terrorist attacks that have killed more than 200 people, that has really shocked people in this country, and the idea that things are not going right. Now, I've spent time in the French countryside in the northeast, areas that are stronghold for Marine Le Pen, where you've had steel plants, you've had factories closed, jobs leaving, people feeling left behind in this age of globalization. And so there is a great deal of anger on both sides, on both the right and the left, against the establishment. What happened to the right wing in this election? Well, the candidate for the Republicans, that's the Conservative Party in France, Mr. Fillon, he was dogged by a political scandal, a corruption scandal, in which in the middle of the election it came out that he had created fake, or the allegations came out that he had created fake jobs for his close relatives, including his wife. And so that turned people away, because one of the main issues in this election was fatigue with a political establishment that is regarded as corrupt.
VOA's chief European correspondent, Luis Ramirez, joining us from France. We continue on International Edition. Former U.S. President Barack Obama personally warned then-President Donald Trump against naming retired Army General Michael Flynn as his national security advisor, that according to U.S. media reports today. But they add that Trump picked Flynn anyway, only to fire him after 24 days on the job. That comes on the same day former Acting Attorney General Sally Yates is scheduled to testify before a Senate subcommittee investigating Russian interference in the election. Former National Intelligence Director James Clapper also is testifying. VOA's Michael Bowman joins us now. Michael, this seems to get more complicated and complicated as minutes go by.
Ira, what we have is some explosive breaking news coming hours before what could be a very explosive committee hearing, a Senate Judiciary Subcommittee hearing, in which the former acting attorney general, who was in the post during the transition period from Election Day until Donald Trump named her successor, Jeff Sessions, this will be her first comments. And she was the one who was overseeing the Justice Department's investigation of Russia's efforts to meddle in the U.S. election. And so there is a great deal of anticipation as to exactly what we might learn today.
Well, what has been the reaction of the Trump administration so far to all these accusations?
Well, it's been entirely consistent with the reaction of the administration overall to the various revelations concerning Russia's activity going back to last year. Donald Trump has put out a series of tweets pointing out that General Flynn, who for a very brief period of time was Donald Trump's national security advisor, actually had a top security clearance under the Obama administration, where he was a military intelligence chief. He was replaced in 2014. Apparently, there was some conflict of personality between him and others in the administration. But indeed, this is someone who did have a top-level security clearance during the Obama administration, and this is something that President Trump is pointing out on Twitter.
So what is your prediction as far as how this latest information regarding President Obama warning Donald Trump against the hiring Michael Flynn, how do you think that's going to factor in?
Ira, what we seem to know right now is that U.S. officials are quite confident that Russia did indeed launch cyber attacks to try to meddle in last year's presidential race. Beyond that, what we are waiting to find out is whether, in fact, there was any sort of coordination between Russia and Donald Trump's inner circle. Was there any sort of collusion that has been was going on at the time? And what we have seen is a lot of smoke, but we have yet to see the real damning evidence, in essence, the real fire that produces that smoke. And what we're all looking for today is some hint from either former Acting Attorney General Sally Yates or former Intelligence Chief Clapper, who is also going to be testifying. We are looking to see get some sort of insight as to what exactly the Justice Department believes, what in fact the U.S. government believes happened last year, and to what extent, if any extent, anyone associated with Donald Trump is implicated.
VOA's Michael Bowman covers the Senate for VOA. And Michael, I'm sure we will be talking tomorrow about what transpires today. Thanks.
Absolutely, Ira.
Well, Andrew Palchesky is with us here in the studio. There's some things to talk about. Let's start with what we just heard as far as both the breaking news that reports, quote, Obama administration officials of saying that Barack Obama did brief Donald Trump as president-elect on Michael Flynn, and now this upcoming testimony.
Well, as these stories come in, we're seeing social media react in real time, and I expect that we're going to see that as Sally Yates heads to Capitol Hill to testify. What we're seeing even before that testimony is kind of a pre-buttal from both sides on social media. We're seeing some saying that today Sally Yates speaks the truth and the answers will finally be revealed. Others saying that Yates has a vendetta against the Trump administration for firing her while she was acting attorney general for not enforcing the president's immigration ban. And among those doing some pre-butting on social media are Donald Trump himself. He's saying, ask Sally Yates under oath if she knows how classified information got into the newspapers soon after she explained it to the White House counsel. Now, that's a bit in the weeds, but he seems to be referring to classified information that was leaked after Yates met with the White House's top legal advisor. So he wants answers on that very specific element.
He's making some serious charges here.
Yes. Yeah. So perhaps some argue to divert attention from some of the other things that she might say, to say that she's not a credible witness, that she herself has leaked information. So, again, trying to put the pieces in place before she testifies to get the upper hand.
Did you make up that word, pre-buttal?
No, I've...
okay. All right. Just want to know.
It's been used many times before. It's, okay. You know, instead of rebutting, you pre-butt. You get ahead of the story.
Well, previous to that story, we talked about the French election. What do we got there?
Yes. A sigh of relief for many across Europe and across the world who feared Marine Le Pen's far-right politics would take hold in France. Many people noting that this is one of a number of nationalist candidates who have not won, suggesting that with President Trump's election, it might not be a wave, but an anomaly. But there are protests throughout France after the election results, some angry on the right, with Le Pen supporters angry about Emmanuel Macron, some from the left, anti-capitalist groups, and a lot of people noting 10.6 million votes for Marine Le Pen. So even though she didn't win, she does have a large movement. She's also getting a lot of congratulations across social media, including from President Trump, who said congrats to Emmanuel Macron on his big win as the next president of France. I look forward to working with him. So Macron getting a lot of congratulations on his victory.
That's going to be very interesting. And as quickly as you possibly can, some lawmaker in Idaho said something yesterday that's, I'm sure, drawing all kinds of reaction.
Yes, after the Republicans voted on the health care bill, Representative Raul Labrador of Idaho said, no one's ever died because of a lack of health care. This comment getting a lot of attention on social media, a lot of people sending in stories about people who did indeed die because of a lack of health care. He's come out and walked back his statement, said that it wasn't elegant, but I think he's going to get a lot of backlash in the days and weeks to come.
Andrew Palchesky on social media. Thank you once again, as always. Among the top stories in the world, European Union leaders breathing a huge sigh of relief as they savor the victory of centrist Emmanuel Macron in the French presidential race. Reports say former U.S. President Barack Obama personally warned then-President-elect Donald Trump against naming retired Army General Michael Flynn as his national security advisor. U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis says the U.S. will closely examine Russia's plan to establish de-escalation zones in Syria. And a Somali police officer says at least 5 people were killed, 10 others injured when a car bomb exploded at a cafe in Mogadishu Monday evening. Expanded coverage of these stories and more on the VOAnews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
A group of scientists using NASA's Airborne Stratospheric Observatory for Infrared Astronomy, or SOFIA, recently completed a study that confirmed their previous findings about a young and nearby planetary system. The researchers found that the system surrounding the star Epsilon Eridani has an architecture that resembles our own solar system. Our solar system has the asteroid belt and the Kuiper belt, 2 circumstellar disks filled with various debris such as asteroids, comets, and other objects. The research team found and then confirmed that the Epsilon Eridani system also has 2 debris disks circling in similar positions and distances as those in our own planetary system. The researchers also found evidence that a planet with about the same mass as Jupiter circles its star at a distance similar of our giant planet to the Sun. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
We continue on International Edition. I'm Ira Melman. A 4th American has been detained in North Korea. The official Korean Central News Agency said Kim Hak-sung was detained Saturday for alleged hostile acts. He's the 2nd faculty member of the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology, also called PUST, to be arrested in as many months. He managed the school's experimental farm. Tufts University Korea analyst Sun Yun Lee told VOA's Victor Beatty the charges against Kim are arbitrary and fake and represent just the latest bargaining chip in a protracted struggle with the United States.
I'm afraid it seems as if North Korea is using human detainees as a chip to play against the United States. And, you know, that raises human rights questions, profound human rights questions. Also, PUST, the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology, was to be the gateway to North Korea for the Americans with good intentions to show, to educate North Korean elites, the children of elites, about science, technology, and also learnings from the United States, from the outside world, and also for North Korea to benefit from this cultural, educational exposure. But this tendency to detain American citizens and now 2 people who have been working for PUST, that raises questions about North Korea's future financial and educational gains to be had from this joint venture. I think it would have a deterrent effect, deterring other American teachers from participating in this venture in the future.
Well, now we have 4 Americans detained. 3 of the 4 are Korean Americans. What is the future of PUST University?
It remains to be seen. I think it's still too soon to tell. But if there are fewer and fewer teacher volunteers, and if North Korea is using these people to trump up these kinds of false charges and to use as pawns against the Trump administration, the future does not look very promising. To date, I'm not sure that this venture has brought real benefits to the United States. I'm sure many North Korean students have benefited from this venture being educated by Americans. But I don't know if this kind of engagement project has brought any tangible benefits to the United States or to its allies in terms of changing North Korea, in terms of reforming North Korea, in terms of changing the behavior of the Kim Jong-un regime.
This is VOA.
What is it like to study in the United States, and what do you have to do to get here? The Student Union is VOA's blog that follows students from all over the world as they face challenges and opportunities of studying at American universities. Log on at blogs.voanews.com/student-union.
Here's a quick quiz. What do the letters LTATOMLAW stand for? We know the answer, right? Listen to Akwe Thompson on Nightline Africa Weekends. Add to that 16 and 18 UTC on VOA, and we have a perfect score. That was easy.
This is VOA's International Edition. Protecting a nation's natural biodiversity takes more than designated a parcel of land, a national park. Investing in business and education is helping preserve a World Heritage Site in northern Ethiopia. Faith Lepidus has more.
With its jagged peaks and deep valleys, Simien Mountains National Park has been called the Grand Canyon of Africa. Its importance to Ethiopia cannot be overstated.
It's an ecological phenomenon for the country. It's a World Heritage Site as well. So it's important to Ethiopia. It's important for Ethiopia's economy. It's important to the global community.
Tourists come to see the native wildlife, like baboons and ibex, some of the rarest animals in the country. And that brings needed money to the local economy. But the park's biodiversity is threatened by the growing human population. So the African Wildlife Foundation began investing in businesses around the park, like a boutique tourist lodge. Part of its profits support a school the foundation built as part of its socioeconomic strategy.
Our program is to help inspire conservation through education. So the school, Adiske Primary School, is going to act as a gateway for conservation for the community. So first we build the infrastructure, the actual school itself, to provide access to more quality education. And then the long-term impact of our program comes with programs such as conservation education, teacher training.
The conservation class teaches students the benefits of the park's wildlife and the importance of protecting it.
Because these animals here are endemic, visitors come here, and the visitors bring in money to our community. And this money helps us build schools and health facilities. And schools help alleviate the level of illiteracy in a generation. And for that indirect reason, the conservation class is very useful.
The program is an investment in the future of the people, their economy, and their park. I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
This has been International Edition. Find us at voanews.com, like us at Facebook at VOA Now, and follow us on Twitter at VOA_IE. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to our director, Patrice Martin, our engineer, Dan Crafton. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy your day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In a joint local declaration issued on April 25th, the European Union, the Embassy of the Federal Republic of Germany, the Embassy of France, the Embassy of the United States of America, and the Representative Office of Switzerland expressed concern over the recent arrests of civil society activists in Chad. "We are concerned by the detention of several civil society activists, by the lack of information concerning the charges against them, as well as the conditions of their detention, and wish to reiterate our support for the respect for fundamental liberties, among them the freedom of expression and right to demonstrate, essential elements of democracy," the signatories declared. "Members of civil society should play a central role in reinforcing democracy and the rule of law." The declaration also responded to reports that, on the night of April 11th, a convoy of two vehicles containing between 86 and 100 prisoners was attacked by heavily armed gunmen, resulting in the death of 9 prisoners. Among the dead were 8 individuals implicated in the death of President Idriss Deby's nephew in January. The signatories noted that the attack against the prisoner convoy and the assassination of prisoners during their transfer are also a source for concern. "Believing in the right to a fair trial, which permits the prevention of impunity and protection against abuses, we hope that these acts are clarified so that those responsible can be brought to justice." The Prosecutor General and members of civil society have also condemned the attack. The United States and the other signatories to the local declaration encouraged Chad to ensure respect of the rights enshrined in its constitution and by the international agreements to which it is a signatory, which contribute to peace and stability.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.